Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to begin reading in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, or give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'm just going to stop right there. I got this in my head about being well-pleasing to God. And there's a reason. I'll get to that later. But this is, as far as, you know, one of two places where it talks about God is well pleased with something we do. The other one, now this is believers and only believers though, but the other one says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. I didn't have a chance for that one. Serious. I still don't. I never obeyed my parents in all things, even unto this day. And to be perfectly honest, I don't trust anyone who says they do. Or says that they did. Because I cannot truthfully imagine the capability of any human being actually being able to obey anyone in all things. Except one. That one that I believe was capable and actually was totally obedient. That's Christ. Now, I still cannot actually claim to understand how he's perfectly obedient, but I believe that he is. Because I have really no frame of reference for a perfect obedience other than my knowledge of him. Now that one, Christ, is not here physically, but I do trust he is here spiritually, where two or three are gathered together in his name. There I am in the midst of them. But he's the only one that it's said numerous times in the scripture that in him the Father was well pleased. Yeah. And I wrote them down here. Well, actually, I copied them and pasted them onto my from my computer. Matthew 3:17 says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 12 and verse 18, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Mark 1 and verse 11, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Luke 3:22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And the last one I had was 2 Peter 1:17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ was, is, and ever will be pleasing to the Father. And he is the one with whom we have to do. He is the one and only accepted, past tense, sacrifice for sin. And I said that in the past tense because that sacrifice has happened. It's over. It's complete. And it's done. And he has offered it to the Father, and it has been accepted by the Father. God is well pleased with Christ Jesus, and I am accepted by that same God, the Father, in Christ. I am well-pleasing to God in Christ. That's a good thought. I am one of those base things that is nothing, but I'm going to bring to nothing those things that are. Now, that's not bragging, unless you can brag on being nothing, which I don't think is actually bragging. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. I am not, but God is. And Christ says that I'm his. Without him, without Christ, there is nothing. If you hear some noise on a recording, it might be because I get in a fight with this wasp flying around here. But he's going over to the kitchen, so we're all right for now. Good job, Chad.
He's not now.
He's not coming back.
He has been murdered in a destructive way.
Well, you know this earth is cursed. And the earth has been filled with violence for a while too, so, but it's all right. Now, but without Christ, there is nothing.
Yeah.
Some things, some people may think they are something. In the eyes of men, some people may be something. However, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who your mother and father were. You may believe you're somebody. The family might be the best one in town, the best one in the county, the best one in the state, the best one in the nation. But there's a simple fact that everybody is nobody to God as far as he is concerned. We are as the dust, the small dust, not even big dust, the small dust of the balance. It doesn't change the balance whatsoever, not enough. I can fit in that category. The Jews are the chosen people of God, and that's a fact. But they weren't before he chose them. There weren't any Jews before he made them. They were in his mind to be made. They had already been chosen before the foundation of the world, but there were no Jews. He made them a great nation. He made them, period. If you want to stop right there. And that's the same for us as believers. If you're a believer, it's because God made you. I'm a believer, it's because God made me. I have nothing to boast of, Mason. Not at all. I was one of those things that are not. And somehow or the other, we're going to bring to naught the things that are. But I think the somehow or the other includes God and Christ. And it's not me. But anyhow, everybody is nobody in God's sight unless you're in Christ. That's one of them things that I'm not, that God says that I are also. That I am. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Made thee. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, he quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. By his grace, I can fit in there. I can accept that I am not, because I'm not. But God says that I am a believer, even though my believing is imperfect. His faith is perfect. His life that he gives, the life that I now live, is perfect. But I'm not perfect. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Even though he says I'm perfect in Christ. I want to be well-pleasing to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I desire to be well-pleasing to God because I owe him everything. The life that I now live is because of and through Jesus Christ. Or by Christ. Paul wrote it this way, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He is extremely well-pleasing to me. I'd like to be well-pleasing to him, but he is extremely well-pleasing to me. I just like the idea that possibly something I have done could even be considered good or pleasing to the Father, to the God of all creation. Now, this whole thought came about because of a sign in front of a church. You knew there was a catch somewhere, didn't you? It had this statement on it. And I can't remember which one it is. I think it might be here at Shady Spring. But it says, making God smile. And then underneath it, it says, priceless. Now, I immediately relegated this to pretty much the junk status of junk sayings. You know, the one in Princeton, Moses was once a basket case. And they had one in Princeton, and they've got it up here at Gent that says, Google's not the only, can't find every search. It's not the answer for every search, you know. Because they're taking a TV commercial, and they're trying to cutesify it. You know, the work of God in the words of a TV commercial.
Yeah.
See, we got to get them where they live. See, the word of God's not enough for most people. They're right, it's not.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not. For the most part, the word of God is a foreign language to most people. But they're trying to tell you that if you work hard enough, if you do enough good, you could make God smile. Now, I didn't find the word smile, smiling, or smiles, or smiled in the scripture. It's not in there. However, I could imagine, and I might be wrong, but I could imagine, this is my opinion, God smiling on his well-beloved son, in whom he is well pleased. And I like that thought. I did. I'd like to see that. However, I believe it states that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Christ is the one with whom we have to do. Jesus Christ is the one we will see. Job knew this in the Old Testament. He wrote this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." One day, we will see Christ as he is.
Amen.
And that is an entirely well-pleasing thought to me.
Yeah.
However, there was one other thing about well-pleasing, and it's continued on because Paul didn't stop here. There is a way for myself and other believers to be well-pleasing to God. Now, it is actually the same way we become believers. It's the work of God. Because we continue on a little bit here, and we have Paul's prayer for believers in verse 20 of Hebrews 13. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant," verse 21, "make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Working in you, that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Just like it's the sovereign work of God in creating life in his chosen people, in his chosen time, in his chosen place, it's the sovereign work of God to do good work.
Yeah.
And to perform his will and to be well-pleasing in his sight.
Yeah.
Through Christ. Every single good work and every bit of his will for us is through Jesus Christ. Now, after that statement, you know where I'm going to read. I like being predictable about some things. I like being predictable about the truth of God. I like to be predictable about the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus. About his deity, his work, his place, his sufficiency, and his effect. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah. There's that word pleasure. I like this. Because it's God who works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah. I understand. Was it Tim James that said Scott says, I'm not sure sometimes whether it's flesh or spirit. Yeah. Sometimes I don't know whether something's good or not. And sometimes I think it may not be worth anything, and it turns out that it was to somebody I don't even remember. Or a situation I don't remember. Walter's reminded me of things I said that I don't remember saying. I really don't. But it stuck with him. And I have remembered some things that Walter has said that he don't remember saying. It works that way sometimes. You don't know sometimes. And this is the God's honest truth. Sometimes you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, most of the time I don't know what I'm doing, and y'all can take that whichever way you want. But it's true. Sometimes you don't know what you're doing. But God knows everything. People don't understand that. This is one thing unbelievers have no concept of whatsoever. They'll talk about, oh, God is powerful. God is awesome, Walter. He's awesome. Yeah, he's more awesome than you can think.
Yeah, amen.
And he's more awesome than I can say. To where the fact of one sentence that I said off of the top of my head, so I thought, stuck with somebody and sticks with somebody to this day. And I still don't remember saying it. And some of the stuff that I thought I've said that might be a little profound. Nobody remembers. Except me. And that don't count. It's the way it works. God's doing the work. God's doing the work. His work. It is the work of God that you believe on him whom he has sent. It is the work of God that life comes to the dead alien sinner. It is the work of God that we were ordained unto good works. It is the work of God that we perform good works. And it's the work of God that if anything we have ever done is well pleasing to him, it's because he did it.
Amen. That's right.
And I can live with that. For God, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, his good pleasure is well-pleasing. And it's his work. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. And Lord, we're most of all thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come and who did live and walk on this earth in perfect obedience to you and became the perfect sacrifice for sin and offered himself once to you and was accepted, because in his acceptance we are accepted in the beloved, and we are saved, and we shall see him as he is. Thank you. In his name we ask. Amen.